Hello and welcome to the wild wormhole where, much like the card, you never know what you're gonna get. Yes, that's right, the wild wormhole is back, people. After 6 month vacation, we're here. It's happening. And if you're listening to this, it's probably because you're still subscribed to us after all this time, which the show of faith is amazing. But thanks for listening. I know many people are going to be wondering where the heck we've been, and many people probably assumed we quit KeyForge. So as I get into that, let me explain a couple things. Number one, I never even said my name. I'm D House. David House Connect is my full name, but go by D House. I have never stopped playing KeyForge. Play KeyForge fairly regularly, mostly casually. Been actually, for the last 6 months, been teaching a lot of new guys how to play, especially at work. It's been awesome. A lot of coworkers just seeing us play games in the break room at lunch and saying, hey, this is cool, and starting to play on there and on the Crucible. And so that's been really fun. I play online on the Crucible a ton. I have a toddler and one baby coming in, another baby coming in 2 months, so sometimes I can't get out for game nights and tournaments, and so online is a godsend. But I actually planned to go to Nova, and I had a ticket for the Grand Championships, but had a family emergency last minute, so I had to cancel. But truthfully, I'm sitting here right now saying I love this game more than ever. Been playing more than I ever have, and a lot of people have reached out over the last few months asking if we're ever going to release a new episode. And so I just want to say thanks for the kind words, because here we are. And by we, I mean it's really me, not Jay and Mike. Jay and Mike, I still talk to them every day, but they're just super busy with life stuff, and they just find it super hard to create content. So they may hop on here and there, I don't know. But for now, I think I'll just keep trucking along. I didn't want to stop the wormhole from pushing forward because they couldn't come. So I went out and I found a buddy. And I'm going to introduce you guys to my buddy, Jim. Say hi, Jim.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. Jim, on Discord, you go by Jay Bray?
Jay Bray, that's me.
Jay Bray. All right. So Jim is actually local here with me in Kentucky, and a friend of mine that I think I introduced you to KeyForge. Isn't that right?
Yeah, definitely.
So why don't you tell everybody kind of who you are and let them get to know you a bit.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Jim. I'm from the Lexington, Kentucky community here, and part of the local scene here with D House. And like he said, he brought me into the game, and I just fell in love with it. I've grown up playing some card games, been really into Hearthstone as well, and just loved how seemingly simple the game of KeyForge is, but also just how complex it can be at the same time. And just kind of once you go down that rabbit hole of trying to figure out the combos and, you know, what's most effective, it was just kind of a fun ride. So yeah, I've been playing KeyForge for a few months now, and took a little bit of a break and then jumped back in, and actually did get a chance to go to Nova and play in the Grand Championship there too, which was a ton of fun. So
yeah, so there's no better way to jump right into the content and start talking some KeyForge, because I was supposed to be there with you, but alas, I couldn't be there. But you went to the Grand Champs and you won the whole thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was quite the underdog story.
Grand Champion right here in Wild Wormhole.
Or quality participant.
Yeah, so before you talk about your game stuff, tell us, the format was Triad Sealed.
Yes.
Which means for any of our newer listeners, you showed up, you got three decks.
Mm-hmm.
And you had between 5 minutes and an hour and a half to look at the decks, right?
Yes, if you were at Nova, you know what we're talking about there. Just took a little bit of time to get all of the decks registered, make sure they were all good. But yeah, you looked at them for however long you had and could kind of figure out some of the combo pieces, and then you play best of three with those decks.
Yeah. Yeah, but not just best of three. You had to ban your opponents.
Right.
One of your opponent's decks. So you got your three decks. You set them in front, not showing them what's in the deck, just the houses. That was a little bit of a confusing point going into it, but you just show them the houses, and then you look at your opponent's decks and banned based on houses alone.
Exactly. Yeah. So you ban one of them, and then you have to win with both of your other two decks. Yeah. So whichever deck you play with first, if you win with that one, you have to play with your other deck and win with that one to win the match.
Yeah, so super interesting format. What did you think about the format as a whole?
I really enjoyed it. I think it was really fun to play the sealed format in the Grand Championship. For me, not being as involved with KeyForge kind of helped me feel like I was playing on a little bit more level playing field. But at the same time, seeing some of the guys who were a little bit more competitive, they still were, you know, thinking of all the stats, trying to come up with the probabilities for everything still. So there's still a skill level involved. It definitely wasn't just luck. Also helped me just kind of learn the set as well. So playing with more decks helped me see more combinations, more potential, just things that could happen within the games too. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great event. So.
Yeah. So what was your plan as far as looking at your opponent's decks? How did you choose which deck to ban?
Ban Shadows was the first strategy there. And from
get
there,
Shadows out of there.
Get Shadows out of there for sure. And then from there, just kind of thinking about what my decks might struggle with and not playing nearly as much as a little bit more of a struggle, but this was another one that was kind of I wanted to avoid if possible. Just to disrupt that potential that they have with something.
Disrupt the disc. I see.
Disrupt the disc. Absolutely.
Yeah. So ban Shadows and disc. I think that's solid plan in that. I'm surprised you didn't use the Archon art as the basis to ban. I mean, that seems like a really easy.
Yeah, the name that I like the least also definitely played into it as well.
If they just come, they have the same houses and all three decks, and you're just like, I don't like the way that Archon's looking at me.
He seems a little snobby. Let's not play against him.
I will say in Age of Ascension, I feel like the art of the Archons is like way more, like it gets my attention more than Call of Archons. I don't remember any of my Call of Archons decks, but there's a few in Age of Ascension where I was like, oh, that guy looks kind of cool. I've never cared about that.
Like he could definitely hold his own in the Archons here.
Right. Like the little tornado guy. Like there's like in a couple of the decks, there's like a tornado. Like I've got one with, he's got like two swords. And I'm like, I don't want to fight a tornado with swinging double fisting swords.
Absolutely not. No.
Seems dangerous. Cool. All right. So you went in with the plan to ban. Did you go in with a deck that you're like, oh, I think this one's gonna get banned every time?
I did.
Did you have a Shadows disc deck?
I had one just Shadows deck. So just I never Shadows. Had one that was both. But okay. For the most part, the Shadows deck was banned as well from my end.
So. Okay. Okay. I guess let's talk about the three decks that you did pull. And I mean, you had a very short amount of time to figure out what they did and identify some combo pieces. So let's start with, your two less performing decks. Is that okay? Can we start with that?
Yeah. So the Shadows deck that I had actually didn't perform as well. Compared to the other two. So the Shadows one also had had Brobnar, and it also had Mars involved with it. But the Shadows part of it, which I should have got from the name was the Turbulent Boss Gambler of Ratablock. And lo and behold, it was a Plague Rat deck.
Ratablock. That sounds like the Pokemon, the Rattata.
Rattata, yeah.
Yeah.
Gambler Rattata over here. So he turned to the Dark Forces.
Yeah.
So
that is really funny. I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to do another King Potato, but like that's the most obvious name I've ever heard. That like if I was playing you and I saw that, I'd be like, okay, that's obviously a Plague Rat deck.
Right, but the
with
the
rat in the name.
The spice was there were seven of them in this
seven
deck.
Plague
so
Rats.
Just all of my Shadows was Plague Hull. Rats.
Yeah.
So that one did okay. It did have the Brobnar combination of the Drummernaut, the Gengar Chieftain, just to get the six amber.
Okay.
So that was a cool combination that still did work. But as far as being able to do cool Shadows things, it board cleared, which is awesome. But it wasn't able to steal like you would normally expect.
So the way you're talking tells me that it wasn't banned every round, even though it was your only Shadows deck.
Sure.
Some people chose not to ban it.
Sure. So one time the Logos Disc deck also got banned.
Okay.
So that one had Disc.
Seems that Logos seems like a good yeah. That seems yeah. like a good call too.
So they're both up in the air as far as which one you would want to ban. The one that never did get banned actually ended up being my best deck. And that one was Dis, Mars, and Untamed. So I think normally people see Untamed and are thinking, sweet, I can beat that.
Mm. Yeah, I would say in Call of Archons, Untamed was my favorite house, and in Age of Dissension, it is my least favorite house.
Mm-hmm. I think kind of across the board, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. So, you said that's your best deck. So, what about your second deck? What was your second deck?
Sure. So, the second deck was the Dis Logos Sanctum. It's called Petroface, the Advisor of Roulette. So I had a gambling theme, I guess, to my decks. I didn't know that was possible in a sealed event, but somehow they pulled it off. So that one had a lot of really good just single target removal just through the Dis faction. And it actually had the card Redacted, which is a rare card. And I actually won a game off of Redacted, which was pretty cool. So that's where if you call Logos, you can put a token on there. If you get four tokens, you forge a key. And so a lot of times people will know, don't let that happen.
Yeah.
But happened to play a guy who couldn't remove the artifact and got to forge my third key off of it. Yeah. So that was.
Did you ever open with the Redacted, like first turn, first play?
Yes.
That just feels so good.
It did until it got removed when I had three tokens on it. So he was holding that one piece to foil my plan.
Yeah.
So that one was fun too. Did really well with that. That was actually the only deck I lost with in the tournament. So as far as you have to win with both of your decks, I always won with the Untamed deck, but this Logos deck, I did lose twice with in one of the rounds.
So. Okay. All right, so let's talk about your best performing deck.
Absolutely. So the deck name is The Man Who Smiles Upon Conversation.
Which is adorable.
It's so precious, so unassuming. You would never think this deck could defeat you.
If you sat across from me in a triad event and put that, I'd be like, he just sounds nice. Like, that's not a threatening...
Exactly.
Like King Potato style. Like, it just seems like you just want to hang out.
Right. Which, I feel like that's me as a person anyway.
Yeah.
So, just, you talk to me, I'm just going to be smiling. Not in a weird way, but just like, we're just having a good time.
Cool.
So, we had a lot of good times because I just beat everyone with the deck. It was great.
You did not lose with this deck.
I have not lost this deck, which I know I'm cursing my
next
game.
Have you played it since Nova?
Yeah, I played you once with this deck, and I got the win.
Okay, well, that's I cannot confirm that, but that's impressive. So tell us what's in this deck. What made it tick so well?
Sure. So it was Dis, Mars, and Untamed. So this deck had great board presence. So coming from my Hearthstone background, that's kind of my play style. I do think Keyforge, you have your own play style, even though your deck might want you to play a different way. So this one fit my play style, have a huge board. The Untamed part had both of the Pampakas. So Pampaka Anga and Pampaka Jaga, or however you pronounce those. And then just tons of huge creatures with massive power. So I always had the board control. And then from there, it actually had a lot of really good comeback mechanics. So with the Dis faction, it had two copies of Exhume and also a Charette in there. So anytime my opponent was about to forge a key, I was able to pull the Charette back to capture three Amber to where they couldn't forge the key on their next turn.
Yeah, double Exhume is not something you're sad about seeing. I mean, that thing, just to be able, the second I saw that, it's like immediate like improvement from regrowth. That I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, that's that is fantastic. So.
Yeah, so the card reads, choose a creature in your discard pile. You may play that creature as if it belonged to the active house and was in your hand.
And it gives you an amber just for playing it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why they thought it needed that.
Because we're in the deck, The Man Who Smiles Upon Conversation. Give the man an amber. He's having a good time. So had a lot of good fun with this deck. Actually had some pretty crazy plays, which I'm happy to get into if you all want to hear about those. But... just had a lot of really good comeback mechanics. So this deck, I always fell behind 2-1 and then somehow found a way to win 3-2. So just kind of eventually got there, it seemed.
Also, in your Mars house, you have three Mind Worms.
Yes.
And I believe in our game, you literally got all three in that hand and played three Mind Worms. Which, again, as a one-power creature, it's like if I have a certain, you know, throwing stars or whistling darts, like... they all die, but I did not have that in that game, and that was very interesting to like sit down and be like, how do I deal with three Mind Worms? Read Mind Worm for those who don't know what we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
So it's a Mars creature. It's a beast with one power, and it's elusive, and it also reads, before it fights, the creature Mind Worm fights deals equal damage equal to its power to each of its neighbors. So it's going to die in the fight as well, unless it's fighting something that's elusive. But it's a good opportunity to potentially kill two of their creatures. So yeah, if you get three of these out here and can fight with them, it's just see you aboard.
This is nasty. But yeah, I mean, it's from first glance, it doesn't look crazy. You only have 9 extra Amber Pips. Just looking on decks at KeyForge at it right now. But 83 SAS score and a 63 ARC score. Pretty solid, especially for a sealed event. So that's pretty solid. Any interesting plays or anything that you remember that I feel like some of these plays, like in these decks that we enjoy, like we remember certain plays and we're like, oh man, when this happened, like that's what brings like the joy of KeyForge to it. Like where you're like, that was epic. Like I can't believe I pulled that off.
Yeah, absolutely. This deck in particular had one of those plays for sure. So I was down 2-1, got it tied up 2-2, and he was about to forge his third key. So he's at 7 amber, and there's not too much amber control in this deck, but it does have an Anguish in here. So Anguish is a discard that just reads, it's 6 power, and it's for each damage on Anguish, your opponent's key costs +1. So he thought he was safe. I had a huge board out, but he didn't have a board, and so he was thinking, surely there's no way he can pump damage into this Anguish. But over here, the Mars spice of the deck had a combat pheromones in play. And that reads, it's an Omni, sacrifice combat pheromones. You may use up to 2 other Mars cards this turn. And so I was able to use the combat pheromones to actually use Mother Gun, which is another artifact, which is just reveal any number of Mars cards from your hand, deal damage to a creature equal to the number of Mars cards. So I was actually able to use Mother Gun to then deal damage to my own Anguish to make his key cost more than the amber he had. And then was able to get up to the 6 amber, and he didn't have a way to stop me. So that was definitely kind of the weird play that utilized 2 houses, which you don't normally see too often in one turn. That really kind of got me back into KeyForge. Like, I love this game. I'm unstoppable. And then I lost my next match. So it brought me back down to earth real quickly.
Epic. So... which does bring the question, speaking of records, at one point you were 3-0.
I did start 3-0.
Three matches, you started 3-0.
Feel like I was a little kid in the candy shop, just disbelief that I was able to...
You're making a lot of disciplines today. Welcome to the wormhole, everybody. So you're 3-0, and then you played your next match.
I did. And so I lost 2-1 in my next match. And so this tournament was 6 rounds. So this point I was 3-1, and to make to the top cut, you had to go 4-2 at least. And then depending on tiebreakers, was made the top 16. But part of this tournament, unfortunately, we did start a little bit late. So this point it was already about 7:30 at night, and my ride was leaving for dinner. And so I chose food over the potential glory of top 16. So we're just going to pretend like I lost those other 2 rounds.
Like,
so
half of our listeners are screaming, you were 3-1 and you dropped. But I got to respect, hey, you need food. Like,
absolutely.
Like that is one of those tension points of these long tournaments, especially like triad format that I think it's fun and interesting, but dang, it makes for a long day. I mean, that's, especially if you go all 6 games, and if you went to all 3, if you had to go all 3 games at 6-year game, I mean, you could potentially be playing 18 games of KeyForge. I mean, that's a lot of thinking. That's a lot of dead brain cells by the end of the day, I think.
Yes. After round 2, 3, 4 and on, everyone was just saying they were just so mentally exhausted after each game. Yeah. So it was a great tournament. Everyone had a lot of fun from what I could see. And there's a lot of good KeyForge. So yeah, it was really cool.
Especially when you're playing like 3 new decks you've never played. Like, I feel like Archon might be a little simpler because you can, in some ways, go on autopilot. Like, you know what your deck does, and you know certain how to sequence certain things. But that did sound brutal. You know, I used to play X-Wing, and I loved X-Wing, but I hated that games went to like 75 minutes plus. I'd be like, my brain is dead, and I want to go eat, and I'm hungry, and I'm grumpy, and so I love card games that's like, hey, we can jam out a game in like 20 minutes. Let's do this.
Right. So if you know what your deck's doing, you can absolutely do that with KeyForge. Learning your deck as you go sometimes took a little bit longer, but 30, 35 minutes was plenty of time to finish a game.
Yeah. So looking back on your experience, would you do anything differently? Did you would you change any decisions that you made? Obviously, you don't get to decide on your decks, but was there anything that you would consider?
Trying to think. I think hopefully they would have the system figured out to where you could all get your decks at the same time. So finding a way to see my cards first, I think would have helped me out a lot.
Because, I mean, truly, there were some guys who were sitting there for an hour, hour and a half with their decks
And
while you're still in line.
And they were doing a good job. They weren't playing games with their decks or anything like that, but they still got to, you know, look up their cards, see the combos, potentials, and just having more time with your deck to kind of see potential hands, what you can do with those, I think was a big help. In a format like this, I do think if you do your homework beforehand, you will be more successful. So you can kind of know what to expect from the houses that you're going against.
Yeah.
So you can obviously have the base knowledge of, oh, there's a Shadows player. He might steal Amber from me. But then to go even deeper than that and really kind of know more of the common cards, especially just to know what specifically are some of the problem cards you need to look out for.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, that's cool. I was super bummed that I couldn't be there, but proud of you for your 3-1 finish. And I guess we'll never know. You could have been the grand champion.
Yeah, could be.
But you weren't. You're just the grand loser.
So. Who got to have a great dinner? So who really won this?
No, here's the real question. This is the content people come to the Wild Wormhole for. What did you eat for dinner that night? That's what we need to know.
Sure. So I had Buffalo Wild Wings. It was incredible. Mostly because I hadn't eaten all day from the copious amounts of Keyforge that we played. So it was a great way to kind of...
Well, what flavor wings? That's what everyone needs to know.
Sure. Honey barbecue. I'm just a classic...
Wrong.
Classic honey barbecue type person. If I feel like I need milk with my wings because they're too spicy, that's just not for me. Come on. I'm the man who smiles upon conversation, not burns my mouth with hot wings.
What if that was a deck name? The man who burns his mouth on hot wings. Be like Untamed, Dis, and Brobnar,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I would ban that deck in a heartbeat.
Oh, there it is. I wonder if we can submit that. That's what they should do. You know what? I just figured it out. The champion for grand champions, world champs, they used to do this thing where like you could design a card, and I think they scrapped that because it was too hard to get these guys in there. For Keyforge, they should absolutely let the person submit a word to the algorithm or a phrase to the algorithm that could produce that deck name in the future set.
I like that.
Like Hot Wings? Like, that'd be an excellent, like how amazing would that be if, like, Hot Wings was something that you could find, like, in your deck name?
I feel like I would get very excited to play that deck, regardless of how good it was.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's just so many great opportunities, and I don't know. They had to ban so many decks from the first set. Like, maybe us as fans, we can, you know, jump in and help them with this. But, all right. Cool. Well, I didn't get to play some Triad Sealed, but on my side of things, I am going to get to play some Triad in with the Archon format. I've joined the league from the Sanctimonious Discord. Sanctimonious is a great Keyforge podcast content creator. If you haven't checked them out, be sure to do that. If you're listening to us, I have a feeling that you have listened to them because I don't even know who we are anymore. But so I joined there. So it's Archon. It's Triad Archon. So we're all bringing, I think there's 72 guys in the league. It filled up and has a wait list. I think the interest was incredible. And we have different groups that we're a part of. I'm in group E. So we basically just bring three decks. We got to play everybody else in our league. And we each, you know, ban a deck from the other person and then jam out the other game. So... I'm really excited about it. I'm literally playing my first match as soon as we're done recording against Dave Cordero. And if you follow Keyforge results at all, I believe he got second at Gen Con, and he's probably going to just wipe the floor with me like two games in probably 20 minutes. So
at least it'll be a quick match for you.
Yeah.
So then you can eat your Buffalo Wild Wings afterwards.
I plan to learn a lot and talk about it on our next show. But... So it's been interesting, like, trying to decide what decks I'm bringing into an Archon Triad experience. I have one deck that's a no-brainer. It's Artellus of Amber Market is its name. I pulled it at Christmas because I flew to Colorado and I talked to my brother who lives out there, and I was like, hey, I want to teach you this game. And he's like, okay. So we went out to the store and bought two decks, and lo and behold, I pulled a deck that has a 95 SAS score and like 66 ARC. I mean, but you just look at it and it has just sick, nasty, just true value. Like every card has value, one of those decks. And then I have that, and then I have what I would consider my actual favorite deck from Call of Archons, Kartir the Tight Purse. I actually did an episode of Sloppy Lab Work on YouTube of the deck, but just has a ton of ways to make your keys cost a lot more than they should. It was like the original Grunt Buggy before Grunt Buggy came out. So it's like I knew I'd play those two, but then my third slot, I wasn't sure what to do, and I was kind of talking to you about this earlier. Because I have a deck from Age of Ascension, because I really want to play Age of Ascension too. Like, I want to see Age of Ascension do well and not just be dominated by Call of Archons. And I have this deck, Truzor, the Reasonable Tower Chief.
He just sounds cool.
He does.
Honestly.
He's extremely reasonable. He'd probably have a great conversation with the man who smiles upon conversation. So I pull this deck, and it's got a great score, the 86 SAS. By the way, I'm not obsessed with the scoring system, but I do find it helpful to know potential power. It has some weird sequencing. It has two War Grumpus, which is a Brobnar rare creature where you can fight or reap, ready a neighboring giant, and fight with them. So sometimes that leads to weird sequencing because it's not a May. Like, so you have to do it. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to fight because it's going to kill that creature. I wish this had May. But it has a Grumpus Tamer, which when you reap, you can search your discard pile or your deck for a War Grumpus. So there's a lot of cycling in there. And then it also has some nasty Shadows stuff, double Ronnie Wrist Clocks, Too Much to Protect, and the Sting. And the Sting is this artifact from Call of the Archons. It was originally there, where you skip your forge key step as an artifact, and then when your opponent forges a key, you get all that amber.
I've never figured out how to play that correctly.
I still haven't. Okay. Spoiler alert.
I'm glad I'm not the only one here.
My brain is not smart enough to figure out the sequencing with the War Grumpus and the Sting, but I still have the Too Much to Protect, but I have Interdimensional Graft as well. I want it to work so badly. Okay, so Logos is the other house in there. But every time I sit there, it's like I play this thing thinking, oh, because it has Nightforge.
Gotcha.
And Nightforge is the key cheat where you can forge a key. It gives you an amber pip and you can forge a key for +4. So this, ideally, you have the Sting and Nightforge. You get 6 amber from them, and then assuming you already have some, you know, you can play the Nightforge and forge a key. Ultimately, you're losing 3 amber, but I mean, you're getting all that. You're making a lot on it. Anyways, so I've been trying to jam out games, trying to get comfortable with this, and I just can't.
This thing's tricky for sure. So.
Yeah. So I've been playing a ton of games with it, and finally I just got to the point where, like, I cannot figure out how to play this deck. I can't play it in the league.
That's fair. So you're sticking with all Call of the Archons. You're the original set type player.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did just pull, and I played this deck against you last night. I pulled an Age of Ascension deck that has 3 Duskwitch and 2 Glimmer in it.
It was pretty gross, guys.
So pretty much like every round I have a Duskwitch or like out because I've either drawn it or I've played Glimmer and got it back and then played it. It was pretty interesting playing against you. But again, I only played one game, and so I don't know if it's actually good or if that was just funny.
So he was playing this deck. Meanwhile, I was playing a Pit Lord deck, just saying maybe Pit Lord will be good here. He's not. He's still Pit Lord.
Yeah.
But even still, it was some gross sequences going on.
Because I have Tezmal in there with Duskwitch, so I can drop Tezmal, ready, and reap and make you, you know, not be able to call certain things and lock
just
you out.
Just hate my life already.
I do want to jam out some games with that, but so I'm going back to a deck that has a little bit lower score from Call of Archons, but it has like 3 Witch of the Eye and Two Shadow Self, and just lots of, like, again, just value cards that don't make me have to think super hard, which is always great as a father of a toddler.
So winning strategy here, just don't think and you might win.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. This is the Wild Wormhole. Okay, guys.
Getting real wild.
We know our lane up here. This is not your competitive KeyForge podcast, okay? We drop at 3-1 in Grand Championships, so.
I'm looking forward to hearing how this match goes then.
Yeah. But I'm just excited to get some games in. And again, as a parent who can't get out to, like, a lot of these Chainbound events, having that online presence is really nice. You know, hopefully, we've got this announcement from FFG on the 26th. They're hyping it up. Richard Garfield's going to be there. They said for fans of organized play, this is going to be great. Is it going to be a digital platform?
That's to be determined. So, yeah, we're not really sure kind of what's going to happen there. Not sure if it's like going to be like Magic the Arena or if it's going to be more official from FFG. So,
Obviously, I would love for them to announce an official, even though, like, the Crucible is amazing and the guys who do the work on there are angels and saints. Love them to death because, again, it's like I think KeyForge has exploded in interest because of the ability to play online, but it's like, why can't FFG release an official digital client?
And be, sure.
Oh, it'd be so amazing. Can you imagine if you could play it on, like, mobile, like phone?
It'd be amazing. Oh my gosh. I'd love it.
It feels too complicated to do that, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so anyways, in future episodes, I'll be talking about some of those league games and just other games jamming out on the Crucible and talking a little bit about how I beat Jim recently. So
It happens a lot. So the rare occurrences that I do take a game off D-House, I definitely celebrate with ice cream afterwards.
Oh, that's so good. So another news, store champs are coming up, immediately followed by primes. Unfortunately, I don't know of any store champs super close here. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure that out, but, and then I have not seen any map of where prime championships are going to be. And I haven't heard any announcements, but I would love to make it out to, any store champs or primes that I could and get some, like, official KeyForge competition going. What about you?
Yeah, I think if there's anything within a couple hours, I definitely have, you know, that KeyForge bug right now, and so just kind of want more and more competitive play, and even just to get out, grow our local scene here. So just anything we can do, I think, is going to be really cool for the game. And so, yeah, if there's anything within a couple hour drive, count me in. So yeah. I want to be a part of it for sure.
That's good. I will say there is, with Yeti Gaming running some of the official KeyForge events like the Vault Tours, there's one in Indianapolis in the beginning of November, which is about 3-hour drive from here, and it's just called, like, Worlds Collide.
Nice.
So it's like, I don't know if it's a pre-release for Worlds Collide or that's the week it opens and they're gonna do a Vault Tour, which again sounds amazing when, like, nobody knows the cards and you just get this deck. Like, that's my style of competitive gaming, where, like, nobody knows what's going on and you just sit down and play. Like, I love that. I love the Wild West. I don't like it being everyone knows what's good and let's just bring the best stuff.
Well, just do what I did. Just don't play KeyForge for a few months. Show up to the Grand Championship. Be in your own Wild West as everyone else knows the set and just see how it goes.
Yeah. Just don't make bad plays. Just
absolutely. Play perfectly. It's easy concept. Don't get tired from hours of gaming and you'll be good.
So good.
Grand Champion. Easy so formula.
I love it. Love it. Cool. Well, Jim, to fully, like, introduce you to the Wild Wormhole, we have a segment on here. It's probably the only thing that we truly contributed to the KeyForge community, but it's a segment called King Potato. King Potato is, I pulled that from an interview with Richard Garfield where he was talking about how they came up with the deck naming algorithm and basically, how it was so funny how it would come up with names, and he talked about how a deck was named King Potato and how he just thought that was so funny. So in this segment, I pick a deck, or, you know, maybe you can pick one in the future, but I pick a deck name that makes me laugh or I just find funny and or interesting, and then you have to guess what the the three houses are in that deck based on the name of the deck, because there should be some corollaries, in there. So are you ready to guess? We've never had anyone guess all three.
That's a lot of pressure, but I think some beginner's luck's about to go down, and I cannot express enough how honored I am to participate in the official King Potato.
That's right. All right, you need to look away from the computer, because I need to pull up.
He's really trusting me with this honor system right now.
Oh yeah. Okay, so Jim, your deck. This is actually a deck that I own, or I got cheap to give it as a gift to new players. So actually, it's still sealed in the shrink wrap, but it's called The Wolf Who Plans for Monsters.
The Wolf Who Plans for Monsters.
Yeah. It's so great. So what are your guesses? The Wolf Who Plans for Monsters, and then talk us through your rationale for why you're choosing the three houses.
Sure. So clearly this wolf has a backstory.
okay, you already get the wormhole vibe. This is great.
So we have to first determine if this wolf is planning for monsters to join his side, or if he's intimidated by these monsters and feels inferior.
Mm. So, is this a Twilight wolf or a Harry Potter wolf?
Definitely Harry Potter wolf, yeah. I think Keith Ward is smart enough to stay away from Twilight. At me if you disagree. So the wolf who plans for monsters. Okay, so initial thoughts here, the wolf. If there's anything that was going to be untamed, it would have to be something regarding the wolf.
Okay. Untamed.
So let's see. So the next part of this, planning. So there's some strategy behind this wolf. He's not some feral creature who just goes about his life. Mm. He's strategy here. So because of the planning, I'm going to have to go with some Logos action here. Between Logos or Sanctum, but I think I'm going to go Logos.
Okay.
Monsters.
Wait, why Logos? What's your rationale?
Logos, they're scientists. They plan through things. They think. They work through that.
So you're doing like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, like the wolf.
Yeah.
You know, who turned scientist and, okay.
Sure.
So untamed Logos.
And then for the monsters, I'm just going to go, we've been pretty straightforward so far. I'm going to also stick with this here. I think of monsters, horrific creatures. If I was this scared, intimidated wolf, I would also be, worried about these disc creatures coming in. Mm. So, final answer is going to be some untamed Logos in disc.
Okay, the wolf who plans for monsters.
I'm ready for this.
All right, Jim. Let me tell you, one of the houses is untamed. So the wolf, I feel like the wolf is a pretty easy...
if that wasn't a softball part there, thank you.
So you got it. Okay. You got it. That is correct. The second house is Logos.
Logos. Potentially two for three here is amazing.
You're two for two.
Okay.
And the final house is Sanctum.
Sanctum makes this. No sense for the monster part unless monster and wolf was untamed. My heart's broken a little bit, but hey, two for three. I can't complain. Plus, I got to participate in the King Potato.
It was really solid. So again, no one has ever gotten it correct. So we'll see if rebooting the podcast brings some luck there. But yeah, the Wolf Who Plans for Monsters. There you go.
That's a fantastic name.
It's a pretty interesting deck. It's got like Harlan Mindlock and Logos. You've got double Effervescent Principle, Interdimensional Graft. You got Wild Wormhole, so automatically it's amazing.
Yeah, it has to be the best deck ever.
In Sanctum, it's got two Champion Anaphials and three Sergeant Zacules. Sequus, Raiding Light, pretty nasty. You got a Cleansing Wave, which is good. And then Untamed just has some kind of Dust Pixie, Murmuk, Hunting Witch, Nature's Call, Grasping Vines. It's okay. It's nothing to write home about, but...
It seems fair. Very fair.
So I'm going to be giving this deck to a new player, hopefully soon.
Wow. A deck that was mentioned on the King Potato.
That's right.
What a fun. It's happening. Best gift you could possibly give.
It's happening. All right. Well, Jim, thanks for jumping on with the Wild Wormhole.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
I'm excited to record some episodes, and who knows, Mike or Jay might jump in on future ones, but I'm excited to record some content. We have no idea how often we're going to do this, so I'm not going to make any promises at this point. But Jim said he could do one at least once a day, so
Yeah, I think daily content, you know, just for consistency is just absolutely, I'm about it.
If only. So I don't know. We'll hopefully have some regular releases, but yeah, we'll have that. The quality, as you may have noticed, of the audio maybe won't be as strong because I am not technically minded. Mike did all that stuff. So if it doesn't sound perfectly crisp, that is why, but I will do my best to make it sound okay. And I just realized I did not prepare my my like flavor text you know of the day. So here I got one to close it out. We're gonna finish it out with some flavor text from Brammo, a Brobnar creature in Age of Ascension. Flavor text stated by Dodger from Shadows says, "Is that short for Bramunition?" His name's Brammo.
Brammo.
Bramunition.
Dodger, he's a clever one.
Dodger's such a funny little guy. But thanks for listening to the Wild Wormhole, and we'll see you next time.